We are on Yudim and Beis. Yes, we're still on Yudim and Beis. We may change that by next week. Okay. We're up to, well, how do I describe it? There's wide lines.
Wider lines.
And there's even wider lines. We're on the wider lines, which is line 8. The 8th wide line,
okay,
which is the last words, which is a little dot, okay, which says Tamidim, and then says Omarab.
Okay.
That's what we're up to. Does that sound good?
Sounds
good. Did I describe it well enough? Okay. Alright, that's what we're up to. Alright, so up until this point, we're really going to be seeing, good evening, from as we're about to begin, to the Mishnah, different halachos of tefillah, which we'll elaborate on and discuss them at as great of lengths as we possibly can. Yudim and Beis. V'omar Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. Rav Yossi, the son of Chanina, said, Mishum, in the name of Rav Elezer Yossi, he said, Al Yamod Adam B'makam Gavoa Mispalel. A person should not stand in a high place in Davin. El V'makam Namuch Mispalel. Rather, you should Davin at a low place in Davin, which the Ksav Sofer immediately picks up and says, that's obviously, if you're not supposed to stand on a high place, then it means you're supposed to daven in a low place. So the Ksav Sofer says, not necessarily. There's only two things. First of all, a person, there's an isser at using his language. It's a prohibition of standing in a high place because because you standing in a high place is trying to get the perception that God is high, and so by you going higher, that means you have a relationship with Him. Well, that's obviously, you're mistaken. So not only that, but even if you do not stand at a high place, there's, using the language, mitzvah min amuchar, v'hidr tefila laharos kenia yisera, to show great excessive humility when you're davening, that's the ultimate way of davening. So there's two elements, this Gemara is saying. First of all, you should not daven at a high place. And if you're able to, it's a nice thing to daven b'makam namuch, at a lower place. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, mimamakim karasich Hashem, from Shir HaMaalos, this is from the depths.
I feel like when we're davening now, it's much better than davening upstairs. There's Kisrayat, the old minion.
Oh, so you see, the downstairs minion.
See that? You just missed this, Erwin. This is for you.
No, but because you got it. Like in Irish right now, you got to be a monk.
Yeah. We're saying
where
it's better to daven in the mock and normal.
You got where the lady
lower
is.
Place. So
and then you got a level lower than that.
Right.
What they're really saying is that you should not be davening up in the area where.
That's possibly what it means. We're going to see in halacha that there's no iser davening the way we do. It is ironic that we go upstairs to daven, which seems to be the opposite of this Gemara.
But the question is also, should the Shliach Tzibur be standing on the bima?
Well, that's what we just presented, because our shul, we have to go up the stairs to get to the... In fact, there's some shuls that you go down a couple of steps, and there's a little...
Like an alcove.
Something like that, yeah, where they daven. So it's interesting we do the opposite. That's the idea. And it's based on, perhaps based on this pasuk, as the Gemara here says. B'mokim nomuch yispalo, shnemer m'mama kim karasich Hashem. We daven out toward the
depths.
So, again, there's two elements the Ksav Sofer says. A person should not daven in a high place. And the better way of davening is at a low place. So we're going to see in a few moments the halachic sources, exactly what this means.
But is this also talking about only physically, or are we talking about metaphysically?
Person's not supposed to look that.
No. I'm talking about in terms of your machshava at that given time. Are we talking about, if you're coming in and that you're at a... A Balgava event?
Right.
Are they talking about a physical state or an emotional state?
The first thing that we said perhaps could even be emotional, I think that Gemara we're now going to see in a moment is going to be apparently at a physical, which maybe things that we do externally affect us emotionally. Yeah, maybe that's also, that's the idea.
I've always thought that the Olam Gashmit, which is really the Olam HaSheker,
right,
and the Olam HaRuchanit, which is the Olam HaEmes, you know, that the Gashmit is supposed to be like a model to help us understand what should be existing in Ruchanit. So I think that they're tied together.
Right.
If we say one or the other, I think you're saying one is a model for the other.
Right. Okay. So that's certainly a possibility, and therefore that it's really it has both elements. As the Gemara now continues, which is a Tosefta, Tanya Nam Yehachu, we learned similarly in a Tosefta, Lo Yamud Adam, and here it says it sounds like places, Lo Al Gabi Kisei, you're not supposed to davit, you're not supposed to stand on top of a chair, Lo Al Gabi Sarsof, which is a like a footstool, Lo Makam Gavoa V'Yispal, not any other type of high place in Davin, El B'Makam Namach V'Yispal, but rather you should try to daven on a lower place in Davin. And here the Tosefta brings the reason for it. There's no such thing as height with regard to Hashem. Hashem is obviously above space and time, so there's no such thing as you going in a higher place. That means you're going to reach God. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, "Mimamakim korsich Hashem." When we're supposed to reach out, daven to Hashem, it should be from the depths, from the lower places. V'ksiv, and here interestingly, they decide to quote another pasuk. Tefilo ani kiyatov, when you wrap yourself, which means with a talus, which corresponds to the davening, you should daven like an ani. And Rashi says, what does it mean, tefilo ani? So Rashi says, derech anias. You're supposed to daven like an impoverished state, which means a person who is lowly and who is humble, and you're begging for Hashem to help you. That's the way a person should daven. You're standing on top of a chair, you're acting like a big balgaiva, like you're a haughty person. You can reach the heavens, almost comparable to the Dor HaFlaga, right? That's you're trying to reach to the Shemayim, to the heavens. So that's what a person should not do.
This sentence is really contradictory.
How's that?
It says, Lo yamad adam al gabe kisei, lo al gab srapra, lo b'makam gavoa. His fellow, el b'makam namoch.
Right.
His fellow, if he sh'ein gavoa, l'fnei hamakam, that there's nothing higher than Hashem.
Right.
So no matter where you stand.
Right.
Automatically, there is no place that's more high than where Hashem is.
Right.
So therefore, to give you an example, but the reality is that you're still not higher than Hashem. At
now,
any point.
According to Oshkol, he interprets Gavoha as haughtiness, not as a height.
But they're talking about Kisei and Saraf Rav and they're talking about positional things.
Yeah, but it's a positional thing, which leads to haughtiness. It's a thing that I want to be on top. I want to be, you know, I have to stand at the wall or I have to be at a certain place. It's all God is, we say God, you know, God is here, God is there, God is everywhere, in the sense that, but we cannot have a thing of haughtiness in how we daven or who we daven or how we appear. We should be putting ourselves in a low place or a low place, like you say, maybe mentally, that we are not on this level that we are above.
I
mentioned
it also, but I think the Kula Lavoda is always on a high spot.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the movies
I saw.
Oh, okay.
Go to movies?
Movies?
Research. So you're going up.
But the thing is that even if you're saying that, you know, since Hashem is infinitely above everything, but at the same time Hashem's presence is all over, that you're really not getting closer or further, but at the same time what you're doing is giving a false impression of saying even if Hashem is at 100,000 feet and you're going up 1 foot, you're going closer no matter what. Even if it's you don't want to give that impression.
So how does going lower help? How does that give more of an impression?
I think that it shows that you're not saying that, you know, although we always say that everything is Kobite Shamayim, always saying Shamayim is a synonym for God, but at the same time, we're saying here that it's really not Shamayim. The Shamayim is something that's above you, which is the Shamayim is physically above you, but it's not a physical thing.
I mean, I think what's bothering you is that if it's telling us that there's no heights, so then why is davening at a lower place acknowledging anything greater, right, either, because you're not supposed to daven in a higher place because it looks like you're trying to get close to Hashem. So why? So if there's no space, so why is there an inyan of davening?
Spiritual depth, you know, that you're supposed to be something.
that a Jew is not supposed to be a Malgaiva or a person.
I understand that, but then they shouldn't have to be talking about Kiseos, Rav, Prabhu, this and that. They're giving you three examples of elevation, of physical elevation.
Well, maybe because physical elevation may lead to spiritual elevation. I think that's what they're saying.
If you
do this because you're trying to show you're on such a high level, you're haughty, you're
a Malgaiva. Somebody's a short man and wants to be able to see something, he wants to see over the crowd. So you stand on something a little bit higher to be able to see it. To be involved.
They're not talking about a shul, but I
think that's what you want. You want the seaport to see the seaport.
So you're standing higher to see it. That's the
reason. Which is interesting here is that the Gemara chooses two psukim. Like, why do you need two psukim? The first statement only brought down by Mamakim Kresich Hashem. But the second pasuk tells us to feel anikiyatov is not just the way a person physically davens, but your emotional. Mental approach to what davening is about. And that apparently, I'm not sure if this is the case, but it sounds like the fact that you have these two psukim to support it show that they go hand in hand. When a person is mimamakim, kresich Hashem, when you daven at a lower place, that will instill within you the proper mindset like a person who's davening like an ani, like you're lowly, you're davening to Hashem in that fashion. So it's not necessarily by going to a lower place, you're closer, further from God, but it could put you in the proper mindset for the davening, perhaps. Otherwise, it's interesting why this particular Tosefta uses two sources. This is actually brought down in the Shulchan Aruch as well. So just going to read for a couple of moments to give us a perspective of halacha, because a person could certainly ask, you know, like the Shiloh, you know, in our shul, you're going up these steps, let's start. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, "I'm a spali lo yamin lo agabe mita." He throws in, you're not supposed to stand on a bed. Lo agabe kise, lo agabe safsel, a chair, a bench. Lo agabe makam gavoa. Then he says, any high place. And then he says, there's some exceptions if you're sick, you're old. And he actually says this. El imkin hayin zaken ochole o shahaya kvanaso. Lashmiya Latzibor, you want to be able to be heard, so you want to stand up in a higher place. But then he says like this, says Shi'ur Makum Gavoa Sha'amru, when it says you're not supposed to stand in a high place, like a chair, why does he give these examples? Because a chair is a very minimal length and width. Shlosh Tfachim means it's 3 handbreadths, which 3 to 4 inches, like a foot, less than a foot by a foot. Hayigavoa shlosha v'yeshva arba amos al arba amos. Sorry, it shlosh tefachim means it's 3 tefachim from the ground. That height, right. And then the platform that you're standing on is 4 by 4 cubits. But he says, if that would be the case, harihu ka'aliya umorta l'spalabo. Once it's less than 4 by 4 amos. Once you have 4 by 4 amos, let's say 2 feet, 8 by 8s, area, that's considered like a reshus mifniyatsma. It's like another area. And therefore, it's not an issue. It's not an issue at all. Because you can ask the Shiloh, how could I daven on the 80th floor? You know,
daven in a mountain?
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not the issue. The issue is davening in a place where there's not a lot of space for you to stand. And therefore, that gives, I guess, the idea is it gives you an impression that you're standing in a higher place. But if you're in a mountain, big deal. So you're on a mountain, but you look around, you're touching the floor, you're still grounded, so to speak. So that's what the halacha states, that a person can daven in that situation. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this pasuk as we have here, Shein gavos lifnei hamakom shenemar mimamakim kresich Hashem. And he says, avol pachot mizeh, if it's less than 3 tefachim from the ground, if it's only, let's say, 4 inches from off the ground, let's say, for example, ein gavho nikar. It's not recognizable that you're standing in a high place. It's not significant. The Mishnah Berurah then says, how about a bima? Shebebeis hakneses, a shul has a bima. Shedayin lo hukva mechitzos. Let's say it doesn't have walls surrounding this area. Pashad de asu espalala. You're not allowed to daven by it, of course, if it's less than 4 by 4 amos. It says, Mil inyan shamish shimkomo lamod sham bekvias letzarech beis hakneses nira demutar. It says, if you have the shamish that always davens there, it seems to me for some reason it's permissible. I guess because everyone knows he's there because he's serving the shul. But other than that, a person should not daven in such a place. So the whole halachic issue nafs davening in a high place is only in a situation where it's above three tefachim from the ground and less than 4x4 amos. That's the iser. But again, according to the Kesas Sofer, there's two concerns. There's an iser of davening at a high area, and also it's a mahadrin min mahadrin. The best way of davening is at a also at a low place. So that's what halacha says about this.
The word derech anius.
Right. With humility as a humble person. Very good. Right. Okay, let's continue with the next piece of Gemara. The Gemara now continues with another yisod of davening, how a person should daven. Yom Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. Again, Rav Yosef Rav Chanina says, Mishum, the name of Rav Elazar Ben Yosef, he says, I'm a spalil, that a person who is davening, sarach shechaven es raglav. It's necessary. That literally means to have kavana, to concentrate on your feet, which apparently it doesn't mean you're supposed to be constantly focusing on your feet. And the idea is you're supposed to put your both feet together. Shnemar, as it says,
talking about Shema Esrei.
During the Shema Esrei specifically. Shnemar, right? Shnemar, as the pasuk says, Raglehem regli yishar, that their feet, which is really referring to the malachim, the angels. The perception of their feet that they had when they were together, it was like one straight foot, singular. Therefore, we also, when we daven the Shemona Esrei, we're supposed to daven in such a manner with our feet together. That's how a person is supposed to do this. And in fact, it's brought down in Halacha that the reason to do this is lihidamo samlochim, to compare ourselves to the angels, as the pasuk here says, regleim regle yishara. Kolomer is to say raglehim nearing kareglecha, that their feet appeared as though they were one. And the Ramah says on this, v'yesh omrim, that those that say kishomid lispalel, when a person davens, he says this is also yelich lefanav shalosh psios, take the three steps before and afterwards, as though you are about to go toward a king, but you are also acting. Similar to a malach, to that of an angel.
I have heard something very interesting in this regard.
Yes.
That they say that the goyim up there, when they pray, they put their hands together, and that's a symbol of saying that I'm immobilized. I can't do it with my hands. I have to wait for the higher power to help me. What we do actually is we put our feet together, we're saying we're immobilized. We're waiting for a higher power. We're showing it's not.
If you look at the Marsha, it's interesting you said it. Look at the Marsha for a second, which is on page Dalid, right? It's a one-liner, but it's an oldie but goodie. The Dalid, page Dalid, and page 6 on the right side, Dalid is on the left, has two columns. The right column, toward the very top of the page, there's a few different larger font, bold words. Where I'd like to focus on what we're up to, which is sarach, which is toward the end of the line, which I'm not exactly sure how to describe this. Maybe 20 lines from the top, right? Sarach shechavin ragla. So listen to what the Marshal says, similar to what you said. It says, yesh losteis tam, there's those that give the reason, she'amud kain, that when you stand like this, now unlike the Gemara talks that you're like an el, that you're an angel, or you're a malach, Ki'iluhu kapus for raglay, it's just like your feet are tied or chained tied together. The chain amru, and so do they say, b'yadav, when it comes to the hands, shaniach yado achas al chavrta, that we put one hand, instead of, you don't put your hands in your pockets during the Shema Esrei or waving them around, you're supposed to put them together, right? Achas al chavrta, one to the other, b'shas tefila. Just like a servant who's like literally tied or in chains, chained up to their servant, to their master. So that's how the Marsha interprets this idea.
I heard that since the goyim do that when they pray, because it became a minhag goyim, that it became abandoned by the Jews, but that before that became a minhag goyim, that was part of what was done. So it's from the end of
the day. What if the word cup? To cup someone can't hold cup on it.
Oh, interesting. I don't know. Very good.
But you know, they say that, they say yad, the 14 bones in the fingers is yad, that's your dalet, because it's 3, 3, 3, 3, and 2, that's 14 bones. Well, if you put yad etzel yad, you have koach.
28. Very good. So, and chaining them together, it takes away a person's
koach. But it takes away that, because you're immobilizing it, and you're sort of, you know, it's like the three steps back and the three steps forward. You're sort of leaving the Olam HaMaaseh and going into the approaching the Olam HaEmes. In the Olam HaEmes, you know that we can't do anything. Things are fixed. Well, it's only in the Olam HaMaaseh that we can actually do things and change things. So that's part of it.
That's the idea of, we're not malachim, we're not angels, but at least for that experience, we're a supernatural beings of some sort.
We're approaching.
I mean, halachically, even though this is, it says this is the way a person is supposed to daven, it's brought down, the Prima Gadin tells us that if a person does not put their feet together, you're still yotzei, you still fulfill the mitzvah of davening, but that's the basic idea. And the idea of a malach, it's brought down, after this will continue, by the Beis Yosef, he says, Shekivan shemedamer im hashchina, because you're davening, once you're speaking to Hashem, sarachos sali kol machshavos agof melibu. You're supposed to remove all of your physical desires and thoughts of your body from your heart. Wadamos kiyu malach, and therefore it's as though you're actually like almost like an angel, superior, superhuman being.
One question that comes out of this, and that's that the shliach tzibur has to stand up when they got put some higher than the congregation of the city. And to the extent that we had a question with our late chazan, that when he in his last days when he had difficult to stand, there was a question to the Davin sitting down.
Right.
He was able to sing very well, but he had to sit, couldn't stand for any period of time.
Right.
And we were told that he can't do that. He has to be able to stand in order to Davin. And the question is, if that's the case, shouldn't the Shliach Tzibur really be required to sit?
Why would you want him to sit?
Lower than the rest of the people.
Oh. But that the whole Shmoneh is called the Amida.
Well, I have to stay in the science of Dallas when we need to omit.
Please rise. Okay. All right. Continuing the next piece of Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. Again, Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, again teaching us halachos about tefillah. He says, again, Mishum, in the name of Rabbi Yosef, he says, my dechsim, what does the following pasuk mean? Literally, lo sochel al hadam, do not eat on the blood. On the blood. Now, what does that mean? Do not eat on the blood. So the Gemara learns out here, the word al doesn't mean on, but it means before. Lo sochlu kodem she tispalu al dimcha. A person should not daven kodem, should not eat before they daven on their blood, on their life. That's the idea. When a person is davening, it's not just lip service, but it's al hadam. It's like you're davening for your very existence. Your very life, right. So therefore, lo sochel al dam. That's what it says.
From this pasuk, very simply, is that if you don't have the kavana then, to be in that state, to be able to daven, then you shouldn't be davening.
About that you should be al hadam. You should actually feel... I mean, that's the issue in general of a tefillah which has set times.
The lechiyun... But not all things can be done. If you can't achieve that level, do you not daven?
No, because you know we've learned elsewhere that a person should have kavana for the entire Shemona Esrei, which is kavana for the entire davening, but the entire Shemona Esrei says, but if they can't, at least have kavana for Avot. So there's a practical aspect of being makil for that, the daven. It's better to daven than not to daven at all. Because anybody's going to say, you know what, my mind is so absorbed with other things now, it's impossible. I'm going to sit there and have kavana for 3 hours.
So then,
I'm not going to daven.
So then what is this pasuk? Then what is this halacha saying here?
No, we should strive to have that. I don't think that's the ultimate davening. If a person could be in such a plane,
that's the goal.
That's the goal. It doesn't mean you shouldn't try to get there. You shouldn't daven anyhow. The Hidur mitzvah is to sit there and take all worldly thoughts out of your mind.
It doesn't mean that if you can't possibly do that, you say, okay, I'm not. I have to daven until I finish, but that's not the case.
Such a person will never grow. He'll never daven, he'll never strive to
I think this is why the controversy between the Rambam and the Ramban about the Chiyuv of Tefillah.
About whether it's something midoraisa, it's only Beis Sara, which is really the time of where you feel your loss or the potential. It could be. Because the pasuk is talking about this is actual deraisa. The Torah says this pasuk.
Uh-huh.
So, however you interpret whether tefillah, which element of tefillah is deraisa, is Torah bound. Perhaps that's the only time that this pasuk applies. When a person is really davening al dam. Okay, but certainly that's what we try to strive for, if possible. The Gemara later on in the fourth parak is going to say one of the best times to daven. And based on this, the Gemara says over there that they say this is not a correct answer, but they say a person should daven im dum dumi cham, which means the redness of the sun. Which means the earliest time that the sun begins to rise, which is basically Nates Sikin. And then at the last time when the sun is setting is the best time to daven mincha. So that's what it says. But then Gemara says, well, if you do that, people might miss mincha, whatever. Even though most people, that's exactly when they daven. But the language that Gemara uses over there is dimdumicham, which literally means the redness of the sun, it means the blood of the sun. Because the idea, perhaps, we use the external stimuli around us, with the windows, and the shul's supposed to have windows, to look at the sun and look at the redness, and that perhaps could remind a person of themselves, of this pasuk, of osoichu al hadam, that it's supposed to remind us that tefillah is connecting yourself to the seriousness of davening for your very existence, for your blood. Okay, so that's what he says. And then it gets even more serious. Amrav Yitzchak, Amrav Yochanan, Amrav Yosef, Amrav Chanina, Mishim, Amrav Mosman Yosef, he says, Kol Ocha V'Shoseh, anyone who eats and drinks, B'Acher Kach Nespal, and afterwards davens, Alav HaKasuv Omer, on him the Pasuk says, and this is actually brought down, this Pasuk is brought down in Halacha as well, V'Osi Hishlach Nechar Gavacha, and he tossed me, God, after Gavecha, after his haughtiness. Al tikri Gavecha el Gayecha. Doesn't mean your haughtiness, but it can mean your it could mean not your bodies, but it means your haughtiness. Omar Kodesh Baruch when Hashem says, L'achar shenis ga'ezeh. After this person involved himself in haughtiness, Kibbalah Malchus Shemaim, now he's going to accept Malchus Shemaim. This is when he's going to start davening. This is when he's going to start saying the Shema. It's a little bit too late. He's got the order reversed. Before he takes care of the needs of praying to Hashem, he takes care of his own physical needs. That's considered gaiva, haughtiness. And that the key word in halacha is this word, is gaiva. Because it's only foods or drinks which produce some element of gaiva, haughtiness. Exactly what that word means. But it says in halacha, it's in great detail, it's just a couple minutes discuss this. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, "V'le'echol v'lishdos," person ought to eat and drink. "Avol mayim mutar lishdos kodem tefillah," person's certainly, even it's brought down in halacha, certainly allowed to have a cup of water. "Bein mechol bein b'shabbos v'yom tov." Like some people are like mafia, they say, you know, there's an issue on Shabbos that I'm fasting. If, you know, it's davening ends so late, so there's nothing wrong with drinking a cup of water before davening on Shabbos, or on a weekday, doesn't matter. Certainly, eating or drinking for
health reasons
is right, exactly, certainly permissible. The Mishnah Berurah brings down this pasuk. He says that he brings down the pasuk, "Ve'osi hishlach d'achor gavecha," a person who goes after their haughtiness, and he quotes our Gemara, now after this person has acted in haughtiness, he's going to accept the yoke of heaven. And he also brings another pasuk, "V'sochal adam," person should not eat before they daven upon their blood. But then the Mishnah Berurah tells us, in addition to water, tea and coffee, mutal ishtoso kodem tefillah, person certainly allowed to drink tea and coffee, And why are you having your cup of coffee? Not so you can enjoy the paper, which is also, but it helps you down. Right, exactly. So he says it's not an issue. Then he says, "Mikol makom tov shi'amer tchila al kol panim parshas Shema Yisrael." You should say the Shema before you enjoy your coffee or your tea.
Is that Red Bull?
That I guess not for some reason. I don't know.
It's a bunch of Bull.
I don't know, but and there's another little question with sugar, without sugar. So Rabbi Rachman, he has a thought on this. He thinks it's totally on calories. If it's something which has calories, then that's something which is like a form of guidance. But something which is not without calories.
How many calories are we talking about? 5 calories or 10 calories?
I don't know. You have to ask him. That's his sock.
I had heard in certain places that
it's
got to be something
that
the Brocha Shakur. Did I ever tell you can have a steak too?
See, right. And that, I don't see that as being the truth. But
the idea is that just hunger pains, you can't stop.
But his like, sock is
like,
calories.
Like I would surmise that from where you studied that you may have had Rabbi Frand as your teacher at some point.
Yeah.
Rabbi Frand, in one of his tapes, tells a story. He says about grandmother who gets up and she pours her coffee into a cup, and to her chagrin, her grandson is staying at the house.
Yeah.
She finds out in the cup, she just poured coffee into a cup filled with toy soldiers. And then she called over and says, the grandchild, did you put these in here? And says, why? He says, because I heard on the radio, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup.
Very good. Okay, with that said, excellent.
Well, Rabbi Friend, what are you
doing now? Rabbi Friend said that story.
Yeah, one of the states.
Okay.
Where did you end with Rabbi Friend?
What? I don't know. Well, I mean, I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I saw him a little bit, but I never actually was in his class. His class is, I'm not sure if he's still like this, but in Beis Medrash, there's a few, the first year Beis Medrash, the second year, the third, and then afterwards, a lot of the guys, they don't even go to a shir, they go to, they have chaburas, they learn with different people, but some people go to his class, and they call it Friendland. That's what they call it in yeshiva. Because you can stay there forever. You're Friendland, So you have a whole mix of guys, like older guys.
He gave the keynote speech Saturday night at the Buddha Convention. That's what I was
thinking. And he spoke about toy soldiers?
No, I didn't.
He didn't mention that story.
For a long time, he was coming to New York every year to speak for the Just One Life.
He's speaking what?
Oh, well, there you go. All right, we're gonna conclude this Mishnah with the quote of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua told us this, the Mishnah on Tesla Beis, which is the second Mishnah in this Masechta, discussed the last time in the day that a person is allowed to say the Shema of Shacharis, the last time in the morning. So he said, Rabbi Yeshua Amar Ad Gimel Shos. You have until the third hour in the day. And the Mishnah said, Shekin derech malachim la'amod b'shal shos, because that's what kings used to do. They used to get up leisurely, and they would get up on the third hour of the day. All right. So, what do we hold like? Do we hold like Rabbi Yeshua? So, halacha, we're going to see. The answer is yes. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua. Halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, that when it comes to Kriya Shema, you have only until the third hour. And if my eyesight is correct, that is at 9:03 a.m. up there. And it's brought down, this is Preferish Halacha, the first Simon in Hilchas Kriya Shema talks about the earliest time to say the Shema in the morning and the latest time to say the Shema in the morning. And it says that V'nimshach Zmana Ad Sof Shol Shos Shirevi Hayom. It extends itself to a third of the day, which is 4 hours. Because based on Shos Zmanios, regardless of how many hours of sunlight there is in the day, we always consider it as though it's divided into 12 equal parts. So therefore, in the winter months, even though there's less than 12 hours of sunlight between sunrise and sunset, there's less than 12 hours, which means that each hour, halakhically, is less than 60 minutes, whatever that is. So, and that's how it's calculated. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, L'kach, he says, L'olam chelik rivi hayom. It's always a fourth of the day. That's the Sosman Kriya Shema. Therefore, he says, L'kach Yesh L'Zaher, B'mei HaChoref, and therefore you have to be careful in the winter months. L'maher likor kriya shema, to be quick to say the shema. V'acher shayom katsar, v'reviyah hayom katsar, because it's a short day, and a quarter of the day obviously is short as well. So says the Taz. So therefore a person has to be even more meticulous in the months in which the subsequent kriya shema is earlier. So in certain times when you can't say, let's say on Shabbos, if you daven in later times, especially if you decide to daven in a very high place, so the Sozman Kriya Shema is after, is before we get to that. So therefore you should say it before you come to Shul, or perhaps during Karbonos. Okay, we're going to get to the Mishnah today. So let's continue. Hakari Mikan V'Elchul Hiss. What happens if you daven at 9:04? Right? You daven, as it says over there, at 9:03, you daven after the Zman. So you didn't lose out. After all, the Mishnah says, it's similar to a person who's learning Torah, right? Ka'adam ha'kari b'Torah. It's just like you're learning Torah. And some learn out from there, as we said, that means to say the Shema, it perhaps means you also have to say Berchas ha'Torah, because it's considered, obviously it's Torah, but you would think maybe because it's a mitzvah. No. So then the question is whether you have to say it or not. Okay, so the Gemara says like this: Amar Chista, Amar Mar Ukva, Uvashel Yomer Yotzer Or. You should not say Yotzer Or, which means you shouldn't say Birchas Kriya Shema. You can say the Shema, but you can't say Birchas Kriya Shema after this man, after the Sozman Kriya Shema. Meisvei, I'll ask you a question: Hakari Mikan VeElech Lo Hifsit. The Mishnah says, if a person says the Shema, he didn't lose out. Kadam Shukar B'Tar. It's like you're learning Torah. Elo Mavarechu Shtayim Lefaneha. It says that you can still say the brachos, two before and one afterwards, which is what we do in the morning. One, we only say Goa Yisrael, the one bracha after Shema. So, to Yoftad Rav Chista, it's a good question, it's a refutation, Rav Chista. So the Gemara answers, to Yoftad, you're right. It's a question. It's checkmate. You can't get out of that. Which means that even though you pass Sozman Kriya Shema, you're still allowed to say the brachos. We'll talk about that more in a second. We'll see the next part. Time, so that's Tiyofta. Ikud Amri, some say, the Omer Chista Omer Marukba, Milo Hifsid, what does it mean you didn't lose out? Shul Hifsid Brachos. It means you didn't lose out by saying the brachos, you can still say the brachos. Fine. Time Namihach, we also learn similarly to this in Brisa, Hakari Mikan Ve'eluch, Hifsid, Adam Shikari Betayra. A person who said that the Shema passed, so it's Makri Shema, you didn't lose out. Like you want Torah, Alam Avarach Hushem Alafaneh Aviachas Alacharei. You can still say the brachos. Now, halachically speaking, you can still say the brachos up until Sozman Tefila. After Sozman Tefila, which is an additional hour, you're not supposed to say the brachos either. If you do want to say, let's say you wake up and it's 11:00 in the morning, it's before Chatzos, you can still say the Shema, yeah, the Shmon Esrei. And you can still daven the whole thing, but some say the brachos itself you shouldn't say with Hashem's name.
So how's Chabad go ahead and start shachris at 10:00?
Chabad sat maror these guys because they don't hold this way.
How can they not hold it? The halacha is halacha. You can't alter halacha.
I believe you were talking before about putting yourself in the proper mindset, right?
Okay.
So if technically speaking, if you would go to say a Chabad house on Shabbos. Okay. Davening doesn't really start at 10:00. You're supposed to get there really at 8:00.
Yeah,
you're supposed
to see this.
You learn in mikvah. Yeah. So I think, and I might be wrong, that they consider that as part of the tefillah. It's like you're not saying the Shmon Esrei yet, but this is all
preparation.
It's part of tefillah.
No, but we're talking about a situation that Zman Tefillah is over,
right?
And as Zman Tefillah is over, then you can't take the brachas before Kriya Shema.
Right.
Here, if you start at 10:00, you're after Zman Tefillah.
They don't hold this way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So therefore, they should not be able to say the Birchas before Kriya Shema, according to what I'm reading here.
Well, is that halacha? Is that an opinion? Is there one opinion?
I mean, it's brought down in halacha as we know it. They have their own Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which they hold like, which is a separate, I mean, it's very similar, but they're different halachas, which most of it overlaps, but they have different minhagim and halacha. But certainly is a good question. In fact, one of the biggest mistakes I ever made in high school, which is not so bad, is I went up to my rabbi, I went to, I shouldn't say who, I just went to a rabbi who was Lubavitch. And, well, he was the, you know, a rabbi that I was friendly with his children. And I was speaking to his children. I said, you know, I was learning Gemara Brachos. I was learning about, you know, the Zmanin, the proper times. And I can't believe that your father, he davens after the Zman. And I remember that day, it was maybe a week later, after Mincha Marv, he said, you know, I want to stay first a few moments. So it was an empty shul, and he sat me down. And he said, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, this is a very important thing for you to know. You know, because you're a young guy, you're learning Gemara, you're learning a lot of things. Just because you see something in the which you think is a halacha, and you see the other people that are not doing it correctly, that doesn't necessarily mean they're wrong. It means that you don't understand the whole picture. So don't be so quick to judge people because of what this Gemara says. And I was too
embarrassed
to ask him, so why do you do it? He didn't want to, you know, give me that answer. But that was his message.
And a guy told me a joke, which is a joke on Facebook, I explained to him about it. The same type of thing, where I asked the Satma why they got in Mincha Marav on Friday after it was pitch black.
Yeah.
It's pitch black.
Yeah.
And the guy says, that's where we do things. And I'll tell you, Joe, I'll tell you some other time, but it's involved. But it gives the mindset that they have.
So, but it's a valid question. Right. But I don't know. This is what the Gemara says. This is what Halacha says. And I'm sure they have very valid answers why they do what they do. I just don't know them. Well, let's conclude this piece. The Gemara will stop. Okay. Amar Rav Mani, Gadol HaKor Kriya Shema Banosa. Greater is a person who says Shema in its proper time. Yosema Osek B'Torah. What's greater? A person who's learning Torah, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, or the person who's saying the Shema in its proper time? So says the Gemara, Ramani tells us that it's greater for a person to do the mitzvah of the Shema at its proper time. It's even greater than Talmud Torah itself. How do you come up with that? Our Mishnah. Midiktani, because what does the Mishnah say? Hakari mikan ve'elech lo hisid kana mikari b'torah. A person who says the Shema after the Zman, you didn't lose out. You didn't completely waste your time. And you're at least the guy who was learning Torah. Mechlal, so you can confirm from here, dikara banusa adiv, which means if a person can do things at its proper time, that's a better thing to do. I'll stop here.